Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett King.
And what follows this week, dear listener, is the Hallow Stream that we did. We did a live stream for Halloween, so we called it a Hallow Stream.
It's a portmanteau.
Or panto.
You've done that joke. We've done that before.
Oh, no, I haven't. Or live stream, I referred to it as.
We had ghosts.
Two vicars.
And a cameo from none other than Jimmy Shakeshaft, East End Gangster. Let's hear the Hallow Scream live scream.
Hallow Scream doesn't work.
No.
It's just Halloween. Just say Halloween if you want the word to be spooky.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, James. Shall I start the music? Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll sing it so you know where we're up to, James.
I don't know what you're singing.
Okay, shall I go?
Yeah.
That was awful. That was horrible sounding, wasn't it?
No, that was terrible. Not only out of tune, also out of time.
In fairness to you, only I can hear the music. So the challenge of us both singing along was we were never going to make that work.
Oh, dear. Hello, folks.
Hello.
How are you, folks? You've been keeping an eye on the law?
The Wild Hikes, very pleased to see the Shake Shed back in business.
Yes. Oh, Midnight Library. Oh, Midnight Library. That tattoo is not going to remove itself.
Those memories. If I could remember any of them.
Yes. Hello, Special Being County Durham. The Palatinate County.
Yes, the Palatinate. Yes,
Durham.
Land of the Prince Bishops. Yes.
Is there any other Palatinates?
Well, I'm from County Durham, so as you know, I'm an expert in these things. You need to understand, James, is it's the Palatinate County of Durham.
Oh, the Palat, right.
Oh, that's explained things for you.
Yeah, that's really cleared those waters.
I got a couple of little Halloween pumpkins.
Gently cut the pumpkins.
Yeah, you can.
Throughout.
Yeah, that works.
Oh, they're actually real.
They're real pumpkins, yeah. Look, it's... That's actually a squash, I think. Yeah, that's a squash, so...
I don't want to be a pumpkin racist, but I can't tell the difference between pumpkins and squashes.
Pumpkin racist.
James Shakeshaft, pumpkin racist.
Pumpkin racist.
Oh. I liked when I...
I look forward to the grovelling apology video where you tearfully apologise to all tubers. No, they're not tubers. Oh, now I've got to do one.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, yeah, tubers, is it now? That's the old word for them.
Captain Francis says it's okay in Australia, they're the same thing, because no one in Australia could be racist.
I don't know if we ever put it into an episode where I thought I'd worked out the etymology of bumpkin.
Yeah.
In relation to pumpkin, and bumpkin sound like they're talking about inbreeding.
Yes, you thought it was like bumpkin.
Yes, as in to bump one's kin. And I realised this recently, that Rumpy Pumpy, that's really horrible. Like, as a friend, for a light-hearted version.
It's almost worse, isn't it?
And also the one, I only really, again, realised the implication of, you know when someone says they were just a glint in their father's eye?
Yeah.
That's like, that sort of glint, isn't it?
Yeah,
a
sort of a sexy dad glint. What's your problem, James?
Sexy dad glint.
That's fine, yeah.
Sex glint.
What's wrong with enjoying a sexy dad?
I don't know. Speaking of sexy dads, we're all here for one reason.
Oh, yeah, of course we are.
To find out the name of my great-grandfather, right?
Just in case anybody hasn't been following the saga of this. James, you are the third James Shakeshaft in the Shakeshaft family.
In the current line.
But you found out that your great-grandfather, who was a bit of a, in the East End gangster mould, had a name that was not a human name. And you have been teasing us with this for weeks now.
Yeah, no one would ever guess his name. Let's have a little look in the chat. Has anyone got any last-minute guests?
Yeah.
The leather footstool. Oh, Sister Wisty. He is a full-on armchair. Take that back.
Inspector Fluffles. Mr. Chippenfield.
Oh, Miss...
Just Shaft. I like that.
You're damn right.
Shake and vac.
Pumpkin spiced shake shaft. That is good.
So
what happened was my dad, Jim Shakeshaft,
East End Gangster,
EEG, he came to visit recently and got him talking, which is not hard to do. And I popped the recorder on and just got a little...
I'm imagining you with it taped underneath your shirt.
Yeah.
Like an FBI mole.
It was like, you wearing a wire, son. Oh, son. I never thought it would be you.
If it had to be anybody, I'm glad it was you.
Yeah, that's very good East End accent.
So I can't do an Al Pacino either.
It's Al Pacino.
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. So, yeah, he told me some wonderful stories about my various ancestors of mine who were in various East End gangs. Times he had run-ins with the Krays in swinging 60s London.
Just in case you're not British, the Krays were notorious gangsters, not like Scary Fish.
Yeah. Or just the craze. What's this new craze? Yeah,
it wasn't Pogs. It was even more serious than Pogs.
He told me all this stuff. And then as soon as we finished recording, he said, of course, you can't use any of that because you can't say any of their names. Because he was telling... he told me a lot of stories about murder or manslaughterers.
And just to be clear, on this podcast, we're against that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very much against that. And then that led into me trying to get him onto the subject of Great Grandad Shakeshaft. So I think if we can... play the tape.
I mean, everyone's killed a policeman in their time, though, haven't they?
Well, there's the story, the old story about Donkey Shakeshaft.
Yeah.
Donkey Shakeshaft.
That's donkey as in the animal, not like donkey, like Don Quixote Shakeshaft.
He wasn't a Spanish aristocrat.
What my favourite part of it is that my dad can't remember his name for a bit. Like, yeah. He's like,
in his head, he's just going through the other quadrupeds.
Yeah. Is it?
Zebra.
Yeah.
Giraffe.
Ocelot.
Donkey. Now, I mean, obviously that implies something that we probably can't describe in too much detail about Great Granddaddy Shakes. I suppose there's no way if we can check up on whether that nickname was earned.
I do know where the nickname comes from, but do we want to hear the story of his alleged crime?
All right, here we go.
Well, there's the story, the old story about...
Donkey Shakeshaft. Donkey Shakeshaft. Donkey Shakeshaft.
Donkey Shakeshaft.
Who's that?
That's your great-grandfather.
So your grandfather?
My grandfather, yeah. There's the story of him having thrown a copper into the Regent's Canal.
Right.
Or was it the Grand Canal? It was the canal that ran past...
You can't remember which canal?
No.
The old Gainsborough Film Studios.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it was on a Sunday lunchtime, and the pub's closed at 2 o'clock, and they were standing outside the pub, and there was a guy, he had a jug of ale to take home.
He had a jug of ale?
Ale,
okay. Not a jugged ale.
And the cop had come along and told him to move on, and the cop had kicked this guy's jug of beer over. And it was a very low bridge over the canal. It was at the bottom of Hyde Road. And
he's given all the postcodes for all of the specifics of this.
Yeah, all the specifics apart from the name.
That's where they were living at the time. And Donkey Shakes, I was supposed to pick this policeman up and then threw him over the wall into the canal.
Get in that canal, buddy.
I don't know what happened to the policeman after that, but that was a story that went around.
And then what was the repercussion of that? Did he...
They moved to Dagenham.
They moved to Dagenham.
What else can you do? Just when I thought I was out of Dagenham, they pulled me back into Dagenham.
Darling, get the kids.
What? Don't say it's true.
We're moving to Dagenham. There's a wet copper on my arse.
I've just killed a cop. Oh, no, what's going to happen? We're going to move to Dagenham. Should have spent more time learning how to swim, less time how to kick over owls. Jugs of owl.
A jugged owl. Just sipping. Ooh, was a bit beaky. I mean, it is the Halloween episode, probably the most frightening member of the Shakeshaft family we've encountered so far. The scariest, spookiest Shakeshaft.
He's the scariest one I'm allowed to tell you about, I think.
You Pendragon is asking a very good question. How disappointed do you imagine Donkey Shakeshaft would be in you for being essentially a podcaster and not an East End gangster?
I think, to be honest, he'd be glad I got out.
I don't want this life for you.
Unlike the policeman. That might be a myth. Would you like to know why he's called Donkey?
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
because he's got a great ass.
Yeah.
Donkey Shakeshaft used to work on the canal boats.
Yeah.
Canal boats full of bricks would come in. You got extra money if you did the last two layers because they would chuck them up and then the people would catch them. You know that thing where you catch like five bricks?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He would go down the bottom and throw the bottom layers up.
Oh, yeah.
And so he worked like a donkey. That's why he was called Donkey Shakeshaft.
That's incredible.
The legend of Donkey Shakeshaft.
So, James, we have promised people...
Ghouls.
Ghosts. Have you got ghosts? Have you got ghosts there in the Shake Shed?
Gather round your computers, everyone, and your smartphones and other internet-enabled devices. We've got... some spooky stories for you this evening. These are all Cotswolds-based, and I'm going to start with one from a little, very small town near Moreton-in-Marsh called Batsford.
I love the way you always mention a place that's near another place, and the other place is also a place nobody has heard of.
No one's heard of.
It's always like, this is Denge, near Pimple.
Moreton-in-Marsh, famously, very bad phone reception. So Batsford House.
Batsford.
Yeah, there's a stately home there. And a forester who worked there and his wife lived in a cottage on Dorn Hill, D-O-R-N Hill, Dorn Hill, just off the road to Aston Magna.
Oh, okay, right now I've got a picture of where it is.
Yeah, now you know.
Near Nibble in the Fling.
Yes, just round the corner from that.
Near Melton-on-Hare.
But at least they're not in French, like up your way, like Chester the Street.
Can we just go one podcast without you laying into Chester the Street?
He seems to be like a sort of a music hall star to me, Chester the Street. I'm Chester the Street.
He sings, he dances. He don't do magic, though, not after the rabbit died.
So, the forester and his wife. Now, these happenings started in the early to mid-40s, towards the end of the Second World War, and a heavy door would open by itself, even though, when there was no wind, and a carriage clock that was on the mantle in the kitchen would jump off. And fall to the floor and not break.
Jump?
Yeah, fall off. It will fall off all by itself.
Fall, okay.
Yeah, right, I think okay. Jump is maybe a bit strong.
You've made it sound very Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
With the clock
but
propelling itself.
Even when they moved the clock up to their bedroom, it would still hurl itself off the shelf. The report says sometimes travelling a number of feet. And I think that means in a sort of horizontal direction as well as a vertical direction.
If it fell off the shelf and only moved like 1 foot and then just hovered.
Yes.
That's more impressive.
Now you're talking. And so they called on the Reverend Harry Cheels of Rissington, who was noted...
Rissington. Say it with a flourish. Rissington.
He was brought in to do an exorcism. He advised them to give it a name and tell it to stop whenever it did anything. As Sister Twisty says, Clocky Joe, you stop that. They did not call it Clocky Joe.
No.
They called it Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
And they'd say, Jeffrey, stop it. Stop it, Jeffrey.
Did Jeffrey stop it?
And Jeffrey would stop it.
Oh.
But the problem was, they'd only know to tell Jeffrey to stop it when the clock jumped.
That's very much stopping the poltergeist after the clock has fallen.
Yes.
As the saying goes.
To coin a famous phrase.
Yeah.
And so what they did in the end is they attached it to the shelf with a small chain. Practical. If I didn't mention before, the clock never broke. The glass never broke. The clock never stopped working.
That suggests that the poltergeist didn't really want to do a great deal of destruction.
No, he's just having a bit of fun.
I remember seeing a student band in a rural County Durham pub trying to sort of rock out, but obviously it was their guitars and drums. They'd be like, swinging the guitar and then just putting it down. And so they just very carefully dismantled the equipment and then just sort of... Essentially, they just started packing up their kit while performing the song, but violently.
That sounds like a scam, like they needed to get that last train back.
Yeah, rebels with a bus ticket. Got a return ticket. If it passes midnight, this baby's not valid.
And so I went to Dawn and made a little field report.
And listeners can find that on our YouTube channel. But I warn you that, James, you are wearing your Bandido mask and also double denim. Essentially, he looks like the double denim bandit.
The double denim bandit. Yeah, DDB.
I mean, arguably, you didn't discover any law at all.
No.
In that field report.
I mean, you could say it was a wasted morning.
Yeah, but no morning is wasted as long as the denim is double.
Exactly. It's double.
As the French call it, le denim double.
Where?
The French and people in Chester Street.
So, that's story one. We did a few other little places on our trip around the Cotswolds.
Oh, yeah?
There's a junction between the A40 and the A436 that is a notorious accident black spot.
It's not sounding very folkloric so far.
No, it's not terrifying. But it's rumoured that it's rumoured that there was a gallows there, or that idea was put across by the Reverend Harry Cheels. He thought that centuries ago a gallows had probably stood on the original junction. So not even that junction. It's a ghost junction that followed the road around.
So the junction is a ghost in this?
I don't know.
The gallows are the ghost?
I don't know. But there used to be a Roman settlement there called Wickham.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a small temple there. And they found a shallow grave with a bunch of Roman skeletons in it that may have been died quickly. They thought they might have died quite quickly.
Those skeletons had died.
I'm sorry to say.
they found a bunch of skeletons, and investigators believe that the skeletons died. Someone needs to look into this. These skeletons may have been killed.
I'm sorry to break it to you. Your skeleton's dead.
Bony!
And, the Reverend Harry Cheels thought that it was maybe because of this gallows, maybe because there was just...
Okay.
The sight of lots of people dying, that somehow would cause drivers to be bad at driving.
Yeah, yeah.
The next tale is from the town of Kingham.
I mean, if you consider that to be a tale, yes.
Yeah, the last one's not really a tale. It's more a...
A junction is what that was.
At best. This one is referenced in Haunted Inns. Lovely book. Features lots of pictures of men... with big sideburns and cigarettes on the go.
Loads of 70s guys going, yeah, there's a ghost there.
Used to be a ghost over here.
That's where it was.
Yep, just down there.
Full portion of chips in hand going, yep, saw a ghost.
That's just a man looking near a wall. So, yes, the Langston Arms in Kingham in Oxfordshire. It was the Langston Arms Hotel. It's a very big building. And the author of this, Mark Alexander, visited... and spoke to the landlord there. It may have been connected to Bruin Abbey, which has got a whole host of ghosts related to it that we don't have time to go into here. And it's believed that the ghost in this pub is the ghost of a nun. It's described as being about the size of a human.
I mean, some scientists now think that nuns are human.
They're approximately the right size.
Yeah.
And it was a sort of a white, misty shape. But Mr. Scales, who's the landlord...
Sorry, is Mr. Scales a person rather than the name of a child's imaginary friend?
What, Sydney Scales? That's a real person. He was the landlord. He doesn't think it was a nun because it is so scary. These are quotes, okay? From what I know of the business, I don't think anyone can really say what it is. It's been described as a faintly luminous shape about the size of a man, but too vague to have any features. A few years ago, it was exorcised by the vicar of Lissington Church, but I don't think the ceremony was all that successful. Strange things still happen here.
Exorcised by who?
The vicar of Lissington Church.
Lissington Church?
Lissington Church.
Lissington, say it with a flourish. Lissington.
The vicar of Lissington Church. The barman, Steve Palmer... was gripped by an inexplicable sensation of fear. And this is a quote. I don't believe in ghosts, but...
Whenever someone says, I don't believe in ghosts, but, you know that the next thing they're going to say is going to be believing in ghosts.
Some of my best friends are ghosts. No, I don't believe in ghosts, but... Well, I didn't believe in them. Anyway, this night, everything was the same as any other night. Came out the kitchen after the bars had closed, went up the stairs to the corridor that leads to my room. As you can see, this is a rambling place. I had quite a distance to go. I must have been halfway there when suddenly it happened. I was seized by a sensation of terror such as I have never experienced before in my life.
Why does this pub owner and barman all talk with the exact same narrator's voice?
I was seized with a sensation of terror such as I had never experienced in my life. I, a barman from 1980s Britain, was gripped with a most palpable sense of dread.
Steve Palmer.
The blood ran cold within my veins.
I was rooted to the spot. I said to myself, I'm not going on any further. It got better when I came downstairs again. And,
Basically that guy got scared on a landing.
Yes.
Okay.
And Mr. Scales, Sidney Scales, said, you should have seen Steve the next day. He looked so bad, I asked him what was the matter, and then he told me. And he's not the only one to experience something there, if dogs go near room one.
I mean, arguably he didn't experience anything there.
Since then, it's become a care home for old
people. Oh, well, I imagine it's not spooky anymore now.
Mm. And in the 1980s, a nurse there, in 1988, said that they saw a white figure in one of the corridors. And, guys, this is where it gets real. A close personal friend of mine. No, a friend of mine used to live next door in Langston House. And in around 1988 or 89, he's not 100% sure, he was playing with his Legos and he looked up.
Was he a child at the time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a child.
Okay. So he was playing with his Lego, not his Legos. We're not American.
So he was playing with his Duplos and he looked up and there was a woman in a white gown there. And he realised it was, unfortunately, one of the people from the old people's home who had gotten a bit lost.
Had wandered into his house.
And wandered into his house.
Oh, wow.
Which must have been terrifying, to be honest. He was like eight.
Yeah.
And he took her and led her back and said she had a very cold hand.
Wow. And that child grew up to be Donkey Shakeshaft. Quite right.
So... the eagle-eared amongst you noticed any links between these stories so far, apart from a distinct lack of ghost?
I have spotted the link.
It's the Reverend Harry Cheels.
The Reverend Harry Cheels.
He was a notorious exorcist in the Cotswolds area, or a expert on the paranormal. He apparently would give talks on paranormal things. In one version of his story, it says that he had a ghost in his rectory.
I beg your pardon?
In Wick Rissington.
It's a phrase that means when you're quite annoyed. Like, he had a ghost in his rectory, I tell you that.
Oh, he's got ghosts in his rectory. He started dealing with ghosts and spirits when a poltergeist at his rectory ran up and down the stairs, rattled door handles and banged doors. Additionally, the ghost, which he called Jeffrey.
Isn't that the same name?
Yeah.
You can't just keep calling all ghosts Jeffrey.
Or is it the same ghost? And he just exercised it out of his rectory into the forester's cottage.
He's got a ghost in his forester's cottage. Does that work? Is there any distance in that as a euphemism?
I think so. And again, he would just say to Jeffrey, stop it, Jeffrey. And it would stop for a bit of a while.
He's very much got one move when it comes to ghosts, which is to say, stop it,
stop
Jeffrey.
It.
And if the ghost isn't called Jeffrey, that doesn't change the strategy at all.
Yes.
Look, I've seen the film The Exorcist, and at no point in it does anyone just come into the room and say, stop it, Jeffrey.
Maybe that would have really saved Father Karras's life, potentially. The power of Jeff compels you. The power of Jeff compels you. I mean, that's not really where his eccentricities end, claiming to be an exorcist.
Hmm.
As the vicar of Rissington Church...
Wick Rissington
Church.
Wick
Rissington. He...
Say it with a flourish.
He had a dream one night. And some stories of this dream is that he was looking out of the window of his rectory into the garden and there was something there. And there was a figure behind him telling him, you have to build this. And he didn't know what it was. And he told his wife about this dream the next day.
Is this Field of Dreams? Is this the plot of the film Field of
Dreams?
Kind
of, yes. James? And his
right.
And his wife said, that's what you've described there is a maze. And he made a maze in his rectory garden. You had to pass through these 15 points in a certain order. It was originally laid out with boulders, but then later planted. And every year he made all the children of the tiny village of Whitrissington go through this maze. And they talk about this in the little bit of film you can find about it.
We can't play it in for rights reasons, but it is an amazing piece of sort of hauntological horror, because it starts with the voiceover saying, "The children of Whitrissington sing songs with rhyming words," as if the concept of songs with rhyming words had never been heard of before, as if they had invented it.
And they used Sidney Scales to do the voiceover, a landlord from the Langston Arms.
Yeah, everyone talked like that in 1980. Mm. But also the songs they're singing are all like, teeth and bone, skin and hair. It's like, really? They're not stock nursery rhymes. You haven't heard any of... You can't really make out the words, but it is sinister.
And I think the voiceover even mentions that these are rhymes that have been passed down through the generations of children in this specific village.
Yeah.
Yeah, he makes all the children walk through this maze every year. And there's a bit where the reporter sort of jovially says, "Oh, have you lost anyone?" And he says, like, "Not this year."
"Oh, no, not this year." A humorous joke from the Reverend Harry Chiels.
Harry Chiels. Yeah, he seems quite sort of sweet and innocent. But there's another Harry Chiels.
Yeah, if you Google Harry Chiels, this guy comes up and he is not friendly looking. But he died in 1947, but was also the rector of the same church. So I don't know if this is Daddy Chiels, Whitrissington. I don't know if that's Daddy Chiels, and we've got sort of Baby Chiels.
And then previously Donkey Chiels.
And then Donkey Chiels, East End Gangster.
A bit of maze out of bricks and dead policemen.
Yeah, I chucked a policeman into a maze.
Get out of that, copper.
It turns out the maze that sounds so fantastic was destroyed in 1984.
Yeah, they knocked it down.
Can you knock down a maze?
A hedge maze, yeah, it's quite easy. Just sort of, I suppose you dig it up rather than knock it down.
I have, in an act of extraordinary hubris, I've taken the map of Harry Chiels' maze and I have recreated it in video game form. Now, podcast listeners won't be able to see, so I want to prepare the listeners for basically the next-gen quality graphics you're going to see. We're talking PlayStation 7. We're talking... Have you heard of Quake? We're talking really high quality graphics. Let's see if this works. There we go.
I didn't know the maze was on a beach.
It's not on a beach. I just couldn't do the rest of Whitrissington, so there's nothing there.
Oh.
Okay, so here we go. There he is. The Reverend Harry Chiels.
Here he is.
And this is the first point. Annunciation is the first
Annunciation.
Stage.
Annunciation. Say it with a flourish.
Annunciation.
Annunciation.
There's like 15 of these. You keep talking and I'll keep trying to explore.
There's a printout of what the maze is all about. It's called The Maze of the Mysteries of the Gospel. Subtitle: More for the pilgrim than the sightseer. And it was following a vivid dream in 1950 in which Harry Chiels was instructed to create a maze in the rectory gardens.
He was instructed to do it?
Yes.
I'm doing really well. I'm on six. I'm on the agony now.
Oh, nice one.
Well, I skipped over a few, to be honest, because I'm an atheist and... what's this? Two! How am I back at two?
Back at
this
two.
This maze is hellish.
Now, opposite number 14, there was a sign that said, "Life after death. If you don't believe in it, turn back."
Yeah, it's very frightening.
Which is quite sinister for a thing to make children do once a year. So every year on the Feast of St. Lawrence, which was August the 10th, he would lead this procession through the maze, passing through each of the 15 mysteries of the Gospels in the correct order, without the procession ever crossing itself. There was a black tunnel, and then there's a self-shutting gate called the Gate of Judgment. No turning back.
And I have to say, at this point, we're about to approach the centre of the maze where the giant tree should be. But I didn't know there was a giant tree there at the time. So I've just put a giant James Shakeshaft head in the centre of the maze. There he is. You've achieved eternal life. We finally made it.
Oh, wow.
Nobody has tread on that maze for 36 years until tonight. The Ghost Maze.
I find him a little menacing, this Harry Chiels guy.
I mean, making the entire village walk through your maze.
Yes.
That is a power move, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like if you go into a meeting with someone, you're a little bit nervous, and they say, should we do this in the maze? You have to say yes. You can't say no thank you to the maze, but at the same time, you're a bit on the back foot.
Try and find my sequoia.
So I think it's time for the scores. What's your first category?
I'm going to go with... naming.
Oh, there have been a lot. I'm leaving the Jeffs to one side. Mm. There's, I like Wick Rissington.
Wick Rissington.
I like the Reverend's Harry Cheels.
The Reverend's Harry's Cheels. For once, my dad's pluralisation is at work.
What else have we got? Dawn.
Dorn. Aston Magna. Oh, this was the other thing that I think added some sort of sinisterness to the Reverend Harry Chills. The next village on from Wick Rissington, or the next villages on, are collectively known as the Slaughters.
The Slaughters?
You've got Upper and Lower Slaughter.
Oh, I mean, Upper Slaughter sounds bad, but Lower Slaughter.
Mm. Oh, those people from Upper Slaughter.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, you're getting points for the Slaughters. What else have we got then?
Teacake 2000 points out, quite rightly, Sydney Scales.
Sydney Scales.
Sydney Scales.
Okay, I think it's a four.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, Donkey Shakeshaft. Forgot about Donkey Shakeshaft.
Donkey Shakeshaft, that's a funny name.
Excuse me, Senor Donkey Shakeshaft. Please, hey, you must help our village.
Well, they've got a sheriff gone bad. And he's kicking over owls.
The sheriff is wearing double denim.
Is this Al Pacino playing these parts?
Yeah, Al Pacino playing that role. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's got to be a five. Hoo-ha.
It's got to be a five for Donkey Shakeshaft. You're damn right, TK 2000.
Yes. Come on.
What's the next category?
Should we go with Jeffs?
There's a lot of Jeffs.
There's a lot of Jeffs.
A lot of Jeffs. Wait, no, there's only two Jeffs.
There's two Jeffs, but it could be any amount of Jeffs.
Okay.
We don't know how many other people he badly exercised.
Yep.
By saying, call it Jeffrey and call me in the morning.
But equally, we don't know if it was the same Jeffrey simply moving from house to house.
Whoa.
James,
I
think you're looking at a one out of five.
Whoa.
For Jeffs.
But it's such a big one.
It's a huge one. It's a gigantic one, but it is just not quite as big as a two. What's the next category?
I don't know. Should we go with supernatural? That's good acting.
That was so natural. That was really convincing.
Very good acting.
The people listening to this in the podcast will have no idea that we had a little behind the scenes chat there.
Yeah.
Thank you for that suggestion, James. Supernatural. I think it's a 4 out of 5. It would have been 5 out of 5, but your field reports have been so lacking in anything of any substance.
Denim is famously a very substantial fabric.
James, let me be clear. I wasn't criticising the denim. I would never do
that. Thank you.
I wouldn't do down the double denim. No. This isn't about the denim.
Good. Thank you.
Final category. What have you got for me?
Doubles.
Doubles. Well.
Dubs.
We've got two Jeffs.
Boom.
We've got the double denim you wore during the investigative reports.
Dub den. Yeah.
What else have we got?
I think that pint of ale, I think it was actually a 2-pint jug of ale.
Yeah.
Because I remember my dad saying that what used to happen was the pub would shut in the morning and then open in the afternoon. So you'd get a 2-pint and stand outside for those 2 hours to tide you over the time that pubs were closed. So you'd get a 2-pint jug. 2 pints of ow.
That was 2 pints of owl.
Ow.
That's another double then. Because normally in a bar, a double means like a double shot of spirits.
A double pint.
Not like a bucket of alcohol. No wonder a policeman ended up getting thrown in a...
A policeman was thrown in one of two canals.
Double canals.
Yes.
We've got 2 Harry Cheelses. It's like Doctor Who. Just there's a different Harry Cheels for every generation.
Or Jimmy Bond.
Cheels. Reverend Harry Cheels.
Or James Shakeshaft, very much.
And there is my replica of his maze, which is a double of the maze. It's 5 out of 5, James.
Thank you very much.
Good work. And 2 pumpkins, of course. Double pump.
2 pumps.
Double pump.
Double pump.
Twice the pump, twice the pin. Especially one says, you're just making this up, aren't you? I can't understand how you could have got to this point in the podcast without having had that realisation. You've been listening to the Lawmen Hallowscream live stream. Now,
Halloween live stream. You can just call it a Halloween live stream.
You were listening to it with me, Alistair Beckett King.
And me, James Shakeshaft.
We now have a Patreon.
Yes.
Which is a way that you can support us on a regular monthly basis at patreon.com/lawmenpod. What do people get in return, James?
Oh, kickbacks, baby.
Oh, yeah?
You're going to get a deputy law person badge. There's going to be bonus episodes and proof of ghosts.
Really?
Subject to availability.
So become our supporter by going to patreon.com/lawmenpod.
I've just remembered, we're not playing now because it's quite long and I've literally just told the story in a lot quicker than my dad did, as well you can imagine.
He speaks with the slow confidence of a gangster. Like the Godfather, the Godfather's not saying like, I can't believe you came to me on my daughter's wedding day. On my daughter's wedding day. I was really annoyed. They always speak in a slow.
He's got the confidence of a forgetful gangster. he gives out a brilliant Shake Shelf life hack.
Oh, really? Wow.
Like an old school one as well. One from the old school.
When you're throwing bricks, what you want to do is...
It is brick related.
Of course it is.
And theft related.
We know two things. We know bricks and we know crime.
The brick is the same weight and almost the same size as tins of corned beef that were coming over during the war from the Argentine...
Oh, from Fray Bentos.
Fray Bentos, yeah. Down the meat market, the Smithfield meat market, they would pinch a couple of tins of corned beef out of a box of them and replace them with household bricks, nail the box back down, and some butchers would get their supply of tins of corned beef when they opened the box. They found there was two tins were earth bricks.
So that's theft, essentially, there, Joe.
Well,
that's theft more than it is a life hack.
A lot of crime is basically life hacking, isn't it?
So, Don Shayshiaf, he would throw the bottom two layers, and that's why...
Yeah, and that's how he got the name Donkey.
Right.
Because he's like a donkey. Right. He worked like a donkey.
So maybe the policeman thing, it was just muscle memory.